Our scriptural affirmation today comes from the 17th chapter of John, starting in the 13th verse. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning asking that you would give us a sense of your presence, of your calming, peaceful, loving presence. I ask that you would give us a sense of you being in absolute control. Lord, sometimes we feel off, sometimes we are all over the place, but you, Lord, have everything under control. And so we submit to you even now. We ask, dear Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would be present in this place in such a way that we will come to recognize the greatness and wonder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we, through the Spirit of the living God, would worship you in spirit and in truth, that we, through the Spirit of the living God, might know you. Oh Lord, reveal yourself to us this day. Without you, we can do nothing. But Lord, today we expect that you will do great things in this place because you are a great God and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We come to worship the only and the only one who can change a grave into a garden, the only one who can bring life to our dead existence, the only one who can. That's the one that we serve today. That's the one that we want to hear from today. That's the one that we want to understand what he is calling of us today. We want the one who can change graves into gardens. Lord, have your way in this place this day. You may be seated. Today we're going to do something, and I'm expecting something of you today. Yes, I really am expecting something of you today, and today I'm going to give you a chance to be prepared. Give you a chance so that you know what's coming, because you are to take part in a very, very special and real and definite way. At the end of the service, I want you to be prepared to pray for the person that is next to you. I'm not going to ask you to do something weird and wild. Just pray for it. Well, maybe that is weird and wild, considering some of our prayer lives, but we need to pray for the person that is next to us. We want to pray consistently for each other and consistent with the Word of God. Now, you'll see why in a moment, but know that I'm going to ask that of you. So start thinking about it. What would I pray if I pray for the person next to me? In the 17th chapter of John, starting at the 13th verse, we are dropped into the middle of a scene, a wondrous scene. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer. First of all, he prays for himself. In this chapter, he's been praying for himself that the Father would glorify him with the glory that he had from eternity past. He's saying, glorify me, Father. Let your glory work in my life. Let it be seen. Let it be shown. Let your glory fall on me. And then he begins to pray for the disciples, those that have walked with him for the last 3 years, those that were close to him, those that knew him and that he had known. And he's saying that he wants them to experience some things in a magnificent way. And then it comes down to verse 13. And now come I to thee, saying, Father, I'm coming to you right now. And these things I speak in the world. I'm here in the world, just like you and I right now are in the world. We're here. We're in the cosmos. We're in the world. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Does anybody besides me want the joy of the Lord? I would love to say that my life, the way that I live, the way that I walk, the way that I talk, gave joy to the Lord. You know? People would probably ask me, why are you grinning like that all the time? Because my life gives joy to the Lord. I would be happy about that. And I think he's saying that in part, that we give him joy because he gives us joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That we can go on because we know we have purpose. We know that whatever else is going on, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that Jesus went to the cross, died on my behalf for the joy that was set before him. Now, it is a powerful joy that will allow you to die for someone. It is a powerful joy that would allow you to have the strength, the character, the fortitude to die for someone. I kind of want to have that joy. To live with the kind of joy that is powerful and rich and like none other. That joy of the Lord. And here he's praying, I want them to have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. Now, when we experience the word of God, when we experience what God is doing and begin to be able to understand what we see, that's just wondrous. That's just amazing. We know that God speaks all the time. The heavens declare the glory of God and affirm it, showeth his handiwork day unto day at our speech. Night and night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. The joy of the Lord is expressed in so many rich and wondrous ways. The trees clap their hands. That's metaphorical. I've not seen any trees with hands. But everything about their life gives glory to God. Going on in Psalm 19, it says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, mature, right. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. His word changes us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Even foolish men seem wise when they are filled with the word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I can trust his rules even when I don't understand them. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The sweet nectar of the word of God, when I imbibe in that, it gives me understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they. Do you know him today? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great, great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Back in chapter 17, of John, we see, I have given them thy word, and the word, the world hath hated them. The world doesn't get you if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The world does not understand why you think the way that you think. The world doesn't understand your motivation for living. The world doesn't get you. And often you feel the slights of the world because of the way that they speak and the way that they talk. And usually, to be honest, most of us just try to fit in. We just try to, you know, go along to get along. You know, and it's a sad thing. But don't be surprised. Don't be hurt. Don't be frustrated when the world hates you. It's part of their job descriptions. They're sinners. And sinners sin. The world can hate you. I have given them, let's go to 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He was looking at the apostles there, and he says, I'm not asking you to remove them from the world. Too often, we as Christians want to be removed from the world. We just want to be separated from everything and just, you know, start our own little colony somewhere where everything is just hunky-dory and everything is nice and nobody says a bad word and you know, everybody dresses just the way we would like and our hair is just the right length and, you know, it's just, we just want that. But that's not what Jesus prayed for those that are his. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. There is evil. There are things that are not right. There are things that are not good. There are things that will hurt you. There is one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There really is evil. It's not okay. It's not just, doesn't make any difference. No, it makes a difference. There are things out there that want to hurt you. But this you can say if you know Jesus Christ. This I would say about you. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Make them holy through thy truth. Set them aside through thy truth. Protect them, insulate them through thy truth. What holds you, what can keep you is the word of God. If you know him, you can have hope. If you know him, you can be protected. If you know him, that doesn't mean you're protected from all kinds of stuff happening. But the circumstances now do not determine your fate. Your fate is not determined by what the world does or doesn't do. You are not a victim waiting for the boom to fall. You are more than a conqueror. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Isn't that interesting? You know, he's praying specifically for his disciples, who were the apostles. He's praying specifically for them. And you're going, my goodness, that's good stuff for them, man. I'm really glad for them. But do you know that he was also thinking of you in this prayer? This prayer that happens just before he is to go to the cross. He's thinking of you. You see, verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone. I'm not just praying for them. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, we believe Jesus Christ because of this word of God. We believe in Jesus because the word tells us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are saved. We are changed. We are made different. We recognize that we believe because of this word that was passed on to us by the apostles, this word that came from the Spirit of the living God and moved on the hearts of men, this word that is sufficient to meet all of our needs, this word of God that gives us a vision of who God is, this wonderful, amazing word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that. I believe that. I believe you believe that. Many of you, for sure. Some of you are wondering. Some of you are scratching your head. Is this true? Is this real? Can I believe? Well, Jesus was praying that for those that would believe, for those who are the called. I don't pray for these alone, he said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. We've been brought into a forever family. You're my family. That blows me away. That blows me away that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. You remember in the 15th chapter, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will. We abide in God. We live in God. It's in God we live and move and have our very being. It's in him that we live. He gives us our life. Apart from him, there is no eternal life, but in him we can live. We've made the great exchange. We've given over all of our foolishness, all of our sin, all of our weakness. We give all of that to him. And every time it rears its ugly head, we just cast all of our care upon him because we know he cares for us. We give it all to him so we can live. We give it all to him, and he gives his righteousness to us, his right standing with the Father to us. I can go boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need to help. I can go to him and know that I have life. And you can too. We together can do them. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We must believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we can't see, the evidence of things not seen. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I wonder if we get the fact that it's worth everything for us to follow him, to be able to follow him. It's worth everything. In Mark, the 8th chapter, 34th verse, it says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, notice it's the apostles and the people, all those that were following him. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do whatever it takes to follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, sometimes we're so self-protective of ourselves. But he's saying, listen, the way to have life is to give it to one who knows what to do with it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, for the good news that the King has come, that Jesus died, he rose again, and is coming again. For what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Back in John 17 to end this up. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou has loved me. I shared all this with you because what he demanded of the disciples was that they would be one with him. And so today I'm going to ask that you would help your friend, help your wife, help your maid, help your child. I want you to turn to the person directly to your right or your left. You know, the people on the ends can't turn to the wall. And I want you to pray for that person and then have them pray for you. And I want you to pray that they would get it. That they would truly understand what God is calling for them this day. We need to be people that will love each other well. I know this is wonderful for those people that are extroverts, and the introverts hate me right now. That's all right. You'll get over it. And the extroverts, remember that the introverts need a chance to pray. But I want you to pray for each other. We need to actively pray for each other. This should not be the last time you pray for this person. But right now, I ask that you would out loud pray for the people next to you, that they might have a deeper, more abiding, real relationship with Jesus Christ, and that they would be one with him. Would you do that now?